see. Oh, I can hear it now. Okay, we're good. Here we go. Let's look at verses 16 and 17, and we'll read this together, and then we'll have a word of prayer as we come to his word. And then I'd like to just do a little review after an introduction of what we covered last week, and then we will jump into looking at the last part of verse 16 and all of 17, Lord willing. All scripture, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Complete or competent is the idea there, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its accessibility, especially today. We thank you that each of us have a Bible or several Bibles in our home. We thank you for how you have made your word so readily accessible to us. And yet, God, I pray that we would love your word. We would hunger for your word. We would take good advantage of your word that is available to us. And we would read it, meditate on it, listen to it. And most of all, God, may you help us to obey it. So, Father, I pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you truly would be glorified in our lives as we make your word our ultimate authority, not just in the words we say, but in the way that we live, we pray. I pray that you would help my words this morning to be clear, to be accurate, to be true to your word. And I pray, Father, that you will help all of us in our hearts to have thoughts that would be pleasing to you, desires that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the past 10 Sundays that we've been away, I think all of us have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly realities of quarantine. I think all of us, many of us who've been shut off from the outside world, been quarantined in our house, there's been a lot of blessings. There's also been a lot of struggles. And actually, there's been some downright ugliness that we've seen, maybe not in our own home, but in around our world and in the information that we hear. Some of the blessings that have been good for me, especially in our family, has been increased time with family. I'm thankful for that time we've had, though it wasn't at all the way we would have expected it to happen. Thank for increased time, and it has given us a significantly slower pace of life. You know, for anyone who is wishing, oh, I wish we could get back to the olden days where we didn't have as much busyness, well, we got a little bit of that on the last 10 Sundays. Working from home, many people have worked from home, and that has been a blessing, but maybe as the time went on, realized that that was more of a challenge. We were able to complete some needed projects around the house, some things, you know, practical things, so there were a number of blessings, and there still are. But there are also some struggles. Now, when I say the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm just using that phrase, but there have been some things that have not been good, and they've shown to me how much my heart needs to continue to be changed more and more into the image of Christ. Increased time with family. It's very easy for, at times, disagreements to happen, or more time together and realizing more and more how much we all need the Lord. And I'm thankful for Sarah's and the boys' graciousness with me. His dad has been around 24/7. And that's a blessing, but also it's a reality. Yeah, you're on 24/7. Not being able to visit family and friends. That has been, I think, one of the biggest struggles. And God is going to keep guiding us through that. I'm thankful for the opportunity we have today to see one another. But there's been some struggles. Not being able to properly honor lost loved ones has been very hard. Being laid off from work for many people, or having businesses say, we probably may not open again. There's been some very difficult times. There's been some ugly things too, haven't there? Political bickering, fighting, murders. Think of the protests that are going on, even in our city of Harrisburg yesterday, that had to shut the city of Harrisburg down for a little bit. We're reminded, aren't we, very clearly, that we live in a world that needs help. Is broken. And as we've been apart from one another for the past 10 Sundays, we've all had plenty of time, I hope, to think and examine what really matters in life. Have you thought about that a little bit? What really matters in life? Because I think when some things are stripped away, we start to realize, or at least I do a little bit, where my securities really lie. And if my security is in my 401k, I'm going to be a nervous wreck because a lot of people's 401ks have taken significant hits. If my security is in a church building, then Some of our neighbors have shared with us, they have been significantly, they don't know what to do because they can't gather with their church, and they haven't been able to receive perhaps mass or other things, and that has really shaken them to their core. Because what if I die tonight? What if someone can't come and give me last rites? And we've had some opportunities to share with them, well, you know, it's not about the church. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. The church is very important, but the church is not a building. The church is people. So I think we've seen a number of things. What if I lose my job? And a very real thing, a very serious thing. But if my security, my goal in life, my desire in life is based upon my job, then that's shaky ground. That's shifting sand. And so more and more and more I'm seeing and being reminded of, God's been reminding me, Samuel, you have got to get to back, or you need to remain in my word. Because that's not going to change. That's the solid rock. That's never going to change. The earth is shifting all around you, and there's global pandemics, and now there's unrest and division and sadness and injustice and justice and all these things taking place. How do I, as a Christian, navigate through this minefield known as this world? Thankfully, God has given us his word. And that needs to be our focus. And so, you know, as we hear of people losing or struggling with their jobs or businesses, or people struggling with their health, people losing their lives or struggling with the thought of why their life is so broken and hurting at this moment, as we hear of people taking other people's lives mercilessly and selfishly, as this turmoil in our country, even with an election coming up, is hitting closer to home every day, more than ever, we must let God's word be our ultimate authority. Now, last week, we looked at part one. I just want to very quickly review some of these things. We've been going through 2 Timothy, Essentials for Christian Living. And you know what, Nate? This might not be working today. So would you mind just advancing? I'm just going to turn this off. And thankful for Nate and his willingness to serve in the sound room. But today we're going to look at part two of this message. And Nate, if you could go to the next slide. We've looked at this text, and we're going to come back to this, and I hope this isn't too hard to read, but you have your Bibles in front of you. But we have really been in verses 14 through 17 for several weeks now. And today, last week, we looked at the first part of verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And we looked, Nate, if you would go to the next slide, our big idea, and it's going to be the same big idea this morning, is this: God's Word must be your ultimate authority. Nate, I'm sorry, if you're the next slide. I'll keep saying I'm sorry, but I'll say next slide. As we've gone frequently to this blueprint, we realize that God's Word is the foundation for all life and practice at Open Door Bible Church. For any Christian, it must be the Word of God. We understand that. And we see that even in the name, Open Door Bible Church. That's why we have that name in our church title. And significant to God's word is our worship. And I thank God that we can corporately gather today for worship. That's important. Private worship, individual worship, and also corporate. But everything we do, if we want to live for the glory of God, if that is indeed our goal, which God's word tells us it is, then we must build our lives on the word of God. And there's a number of reasons why God's word is awesome and its authority. We're looking at the awesome authority of God's word. And last week, Nate, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide. Last week, we just looked briefly in the first part of verse 16 that God's word, we're looking at five reasons in these part one, part two, why God's word is awesome and its authority. If you have a bulletin inside there, it has this outline as well. Maybe some blanks if you want to fill it in. But we saw last week that, first of all, God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine source. Whose word is it? It is God's word. And it is his word. He is the source. He is the one who has given us his word. And this means a number of things. Nate, if you go to the next slide. This means that because God is the source of his word, then God's word is eternal and unchanging. God's word will never go outside of the character of its author, and its author is God. So God's word, as Isaiah 40 verse 8 tells us, you know, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This also means that God's word is absolutely and totally true. Because God is the source of truth. And so we have great faith and great confirmation that his word is true. That's important. Man, one of the biggest things that we see right now in our own world is, I just want to know the facts, right? Just give me the facts. Just give me the truth. I don't want to hear this agenda or this. What really happened or what is happening. We need truth. And God tells us what the facts really are in His Word. This also means, because God is the source of His Word, that God's Word is holy. It is separate. It is distinct from any other book or anything that has been derived from human origin. God's Word is not created by man, though God used human beings to record His Word through inspiration. This is God's Word. It is separate from any humanly created book. And lastly, we saw, because God is the source of His Word, God's Word is the source of life. And it is itself living. As Hebrews 4 tells us, the word of God is quick or alive and powerful. And it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is used by God as a surgeon's scalpel to cut away and reveal areas in our life that need to be taken away and areas in our life that need to become more like Jesus. And the same God who said, "Let there be light," uses His word to be that light to give us life. So we looked at last week that God's Word is awesome in its authority because of its source, a divine source. But secondly, we saw, Nate, if you go to the next slide, last week we saw that God's Word is awesome in its authority because of its divine inspiration. And we looked at verse 16 where it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. God breathed. How many of you have heard that term before? That's awesome. I know there's been faithful preaching from this pulpit. And this verse is probably, as one commentator said, one of the most amazing verses in Scripture that makes the most bold statement about itself in Scripture. That all Scripture, all of God's written word that He's given to us, is breathed out by God. And this is where we get this word inspiration. It is inspired, breathed out by God. And this means that Paul is not the ultimate author of 2 Timothy, but God is the author of 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy and all of His Word. And we looked at some of the unique realities of that. For sake of time, we're not going to go there because we want to get to part two. But if you go, Nate, to the next slide, we see that as we finished last Sunday, we said that if God's Word is our ultimate authority, which it must be, then there will be a number of realities that are true in our life. We will thank God for His all-sufficient God-breathed Word. We will read God's Word and will strive to meditate on its truth. If God's Word is our ultimate authority in life, we will ask God to help us clearly understand His Word and to believe and obey His Word, because that truly is a gift of God, to have the faith to believe and to obey. And then also we will tell others. We won't keep God's truth to ourselves. We'll tell others about what God is teaching us through His Word. And lastly, if we really believe that God's Word must be our authority in life, then we will ask Him to help this become a daily reality in our lives. Not just to cross something off a Bible reading plan, but to let God's Word change us, transform us. And that leads us into what we want to talk about this morning. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Nate, if you can go to that next slide. I hope this isn't too small for you to see, or in the angles it might be. Sorry, I need to reformat a little bit. But let's go to back verse 16. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We want to see thirdly this morning. We're going to go quickly through these. But thirdly, God's Word is awesome in its authority for another reason, and that is because of its divine wisdom. It's divine wisdom. Not wisdom from Paul, not wisdom from Peter, not wisdom from Moses, but wisdom from God. That God has relayed to these men, and as they've seen it change their lives, they also share what God has told them to relay and put on their heart through His Holy Spirit as He's breathed out His Word to them. God's Word is awesome in its authority because of its divine wisdom. If you look back at verse 16, that word that says profitable, it has the idea of being very costly, priceless, but also very beneficial. And so what he's saying here is God's Word, it's breathed out by God, He's the source, it's inspired by God, it's without error, it's totally true, but also it is profitable and it is wise. We look even back in verse, if we look back in chapter 3 and look at verse 14 or 15, he says to Timothy, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Why is God's word profitable and beneficial? Because it is the source of all wisdom. And as such, this is what God's word does. Nate, if you might go to the next slide. Here's what the wisdom of God's word does. And it does a number of things, but we could boil it down just sticking to this text to four clear things. First, because God's word is divine wisdom and is awesome in its authority, this means that God's wisdom in his word gives us divine instruction. If you see in verse 16, it is profitable for teaching, for instructing. Earlier, Paul encouraged Timothy to what he had heard taught to entrust that to faithful men. And he says, you have heard the words of sound, healthy teaching. Where did that sound, healthy teaching come? It came from God's word. God doesn't want us to be uninformed. He does not want us to be ignorant of his truth. And so he gives us his word to instruct us about who he is and also to instruct us about who we are and how much we need him and how he can help us navigate through the difficulties of life. First of all, salvation. How do we know how to be saved? It always comes from God's word. Even as the Philippian jailer, remember him who called out to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Where did that come from? It came from the words of Christ. We only know how to receive Christ our Savior and how to live for God when we receive the instruction of his word. It's very wise. And it doesn't just give us instruction for salvation, it gives us instruction for life. That's amazing. If someone came to you and said, look, I have this truth, and if you would just believe this truth, it would change your life, it would give you everything you need for life, it would give you all the wisdom you could have for life, it'll help any situation you face, any pandemic, any situation in your country, it'll tell you how you should vote for and who you should vote for, it'll encourage you to think about all these different things, it'll encourage you what you should look at and what you should not look at, what cable you should have in your home or maybe not have cable in your home, it would give you instruction for all kinds, who you should marry, who you should not marry, why you should marry, how you should raise your children, how you can live for the glory of God. If you pay $15, I'll give you this book. I can guarantee you all of us will be shelling out. Can I get some for my family? Do you know what? God's given us his word freely. He's given us word freely. We must avail ourselves and see the wisdom of God's word. It'd be very unwise for us to not. But secondly, we got to move on. God's wisdom and his word, it doesn't just give us divine instruction, but it gives us divine protection. Oh, divine protection. If you look at verse 16 again, he says it's profitable for teaching and for reproof. Now, if we're honest, none of us, especially me, likes to be reproved. Because what that means is a number of things. One, someone thinks I'm wrong. And if it's correct reproof, then it's probably coming from someone who is right and I'm not. And my pride wants to say, no. Even if you're right, I just don't want to be told no. Or I don't want to be told there's a better way. But God loves us so much that he will not let us go through life and read his word, if we're reading his word, and not at times in our lives reprove us for errors we've gone wrong, because he loves us. He protects us. Parents see this right away. It's very easy. We can see, I think, with parenting, if good parents love their children, when a little child says, oh, I want to run over to the park. I can't wait to get back to the park, by the way. But run over to the park and go on the gym. They're going to have to cross the road. And that little child wants to run right across. And you say, no, stop. What are you doing? Maybe don't yell. Maybe say, no, we're not going to run across the road. And you hold their hand. You kind of pull them back. Why? Because you love them. And you're protecting them, and that gentle reproof. Or if they start to run, and you say, hey, we need to have a little talk here. I want to tell you that this isn't right. This should not be. You can't just run across. And even that reproving that's done in love is done because you want to protect them, because you love them. When God says no in his word, it's for a very good reason. And it is not because he doesn't love us. It's because he loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he wants us to know that when God says no, it's a good thing. And when God says yes, it's a good thing. And when God says you need to repent, it's a very good thing. When he says you need to change, it's a good thing. God's word always gives us the reproof. Now, we many times have to be careful that we don't reprove in an unloving way. But when we go to God's word and we use his truth to speak the truth in love and have that time perhaps of admonishment or reproof, we do that in love because God has given us his word to help us grow. So God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine wisdom. It's given to instruct us. It's given to protect us. And also, look at, thirdly, we see God's wisdom in his word is given to us to give us divine correction. And this word here, it can be correct, but it's not so much as the area of reprove, but it's, hey, I want to clarify this a little further. I want to give you some extra fine detail. This word can mean a lot of things. But I was thinking of it, I remember when I was learning to drive. How many of you remember back to those days when you were learning how to drive? Some of you may have been longer than others. Some have been shorter than others. But I remember when I was getting to learn to drive, and my mom was a little more patient than my dad. But my dad and mom all had unique strengths with driving. They both did a lot of driving. And I remember one time, I can't remember what it was, but I was just on my first day driving. I had my learner's permit. And we were out in some back road in Georgia. The only thing I could hit was the shoulder of the road. And I remember the big station wagon, we're going down, and I'm driving, and my mom just said something like, now, you might want to consider this next time, you know. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but she would give me these little, now, you might want to do this. She wasn't reproving me, but she was giving me extra information that would be helpful. God's word doesn't just say, pray and trust God, and your life will be fine. There are times where it says, blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord. But then there's times where it's going to say, now, here's how I want you to trust me. I want you to realize that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I want you to realize that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. But I've given you help. I've given you wisdom. I've given you help. I've given you words to protect you. But I want you to know, in this particular situation, here's how you should go. God's word gives us divine correction because he is all wise because of its divine wisdom. And it's there to protect, but it's also there to make us more, it makes us, more mature in our walk with God. You've probably seen a driver who you can tell who's maybe their first time driving out, and maybe they even have the instruction thing, or maybe they just got their license and you see them going real slow and they get to the light and you see they start, there's a little lurch as they stop. And then over time, they'll learn, you know what, you can refine that a little bit. When you get to that brake pedal, you don't have to jam it. You can just learn to slowly ease into it. That's correction. Slowly learning day by day. And God's word continues in its wisdom to do that, to refine us. Lastly, we see real quickly that God's word is awesome in its authority because of divine wisdom. Its wisdom gives us divine discipline. And this word here is, after correction, it says, God's word is profitable for training in righteousness. This is a term that means hard work. It's almost a picture of boot camp, training, discipling, or a sports team that is training, and they want to be disciplined as they go out on that field to play whatever they're playing, soccer or basketball or baseball or football, that you can tell teams that are well-trained, and you can tell teams that don't have a clue. And the teams that win are the ones that are well-trained. This isn't a game, though. This is life. And God gives us his word to train us, but not just to train us, to parrot what a pastor says, or to believe what we want to believe, but he trains us in righteousness, his righteousness. So he helps us to understand what is right and what is not right, how we ought to live, what we ought to say, how we ought to live through life. And so God's word, another reason why God's word must be our ultimate authority is because of its divine wisdom to instruct us, to protect us, to correct us, and to discipline us, make us disciples of Christ. Really quickly, though, we need to go on. And so as we come back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's look at verse 16 and 17 again. We see that God is profitable. Verse 17, why? So that, verse 17, the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And so really quickly, we want to see also, Nate, if you would go two slides ahead, we see that God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine wisdom, but also because of its divine purpose. If you look in verse 17, it says that. That's the idea of, in order that, this is why God's wisdom is given. This is why he instructs and he reproves and he corrects and trains us through his word. For this reason, for this purpose, that the man of God may be complete or competent or mature, equipped for every good work. Nate, if you could go to that next slide, we want to look quickly at four purposes of God's word. We see it right here in the text. First of all, we see that God gives us his word. One of the purposes is to fully transform us. Notice he says, the man of God. Now, many times this man of God is used just for like a prophet. So like the man of God, Elijah, or the word of the Lord came to the man of God, Elisha. Or like Timothy is a pastor here, a man of God. But here, it's not just for pastors, though this is a focus. I believe every Christian, as one commentator had said, this man, a man of God, or a child of God, a person of God, this man of God should be every Christian. Because God wants all his church to be complete, equipped for every good work. And to become a child of God, or a person who follows God, who takes the name of God unto themselves, that's God's grace. He transforms us. You look back in verse 15, how the sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures, are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When we come to Christ and we see who he is through his word and we believe in Jesus and are saved, he fully transforms our life through his word, through his truth. But also, God gives us his word not just to fully transform us, the way we think, the way we live, to transform our future, but secondly, God gives us his word to fully mature us. That word complete or competent, some versions say mature. This word can mean a couple things. It can mean to mature, and it can also mean just to be completed, to be ready, to be approved. As we think of that word mature, we realize that when we first come to Christ, we are saved, but we are immature Christians. Remember where Paul would say later to the Corinthians, you are still drinking the milk of the word. You ought to be having the meat of the word now. And God uses his word to mature us, to help us grow, to see how his word doesn't just impact our salvation, but it impacts every area of life, regardless of what age we are. If we come to know the Lord as our Savior, as a young child, what an awesome privilege. What an awesome calling. Because you get to start maturing and growing in the Lord from an early age. But even if you come to Christ late in life, God still, it's a miracle of his grace how he uses his word to grow us in him, to help us see his grace, to help us transform us and mature us, make us wise in his truth. Thirdly, God gives us his word to fully complete us. This word complete has the idea, too, of giving supplies. How many of you remember going to school and getting your school supplies all together? I remember when I went to third grade, I was homeschooled most of my life, but in third grade, and I remember there was a sheet of supplies that you needed to have, and I wonder what that sheet looks like today versus the book that you get. You need to supply all this for school today. But it was fun. It was exciting. I remember getting supplies for school, and even as I was homeschooled, we would go out and stock up on things, and it was fun. You had what you needed. But as you grew in your grades, you realize that some of the equipment you needed was a little different. I remember when I got to have a calculator for math, I was like, wow, where was this like when I was in third and fourth grade? And then I realized, oh, you're not doing third and fourth grade math. You get to learn sine and cosine and tangents and all this kind of stuff. This is to keep your mom from pulling her hair out. She's trying to help you with this. As we grow, our equipment changes, doesn't it? And yet God in his word, that's the amazing wisdom of God's word, he gives us what we need for salvation, and he continues to grow us and add us. And as we add more truth into our hearts and minds, we are like that soldier of Christ who is fully clothed for spiritual battle. And we know now how to use the elements, as Paul says, the elements of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but spiritual. And as we grow and mature, he makes us more complete in him. And this last word, equipped for every good work, these are both the same word in the original language, complete, and yet the equipped adds ek artios on though. And so it says fully equipped. I think of those soldiers in our military who go on very certain or very select missions, such as our special forces. and you look at the soldier who has the basic mission to go and to do what his commander says, and he has a weapon, he has needs for that mission, but then those who go on special operations, they have much different or the same kind of, they have a rifle, but it is a way different rifle. They have night vision, they have all this stuff, they are fully equipped. And God is saying here, I don't want you just to get the basics of my word. I give you my word so my wisdom makes you fully equipped. So as you go out into this world, you are fully equipped with truth, to speak the truth in love. And so when we see people around us hurting, we don't just say, well, that's just because they're of this ethnicity, or that's because they have this agenda. We actually have a heart that says, you know, there was a time when I was so lost I didn't know it. And these people are hurting. I can see the lostness, and I just want to tell them that God loves them. And how do I do that? How do I do that wisely? God's word gives us that wisdom. That last phrase, verse 17, and we'll quickly move on to our last point. But verse 17, he says, why? What's the purpose? The divine purpose, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's a loaded phrase. In Titus, Paul tells us the grace of God has appeared so that we would abound in good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that God has good works for each Christian to do, which he has ordained for us to accomplish before the foundation of the world even began. Nate, if you'd go to that next slide, I appreciate this quote from Abe W. Tozier. As we think of good works, we know that good works don't save us, but I appreciate this quote. He says, the purpose of good works isn't to change us or save us. Rather, it's the demonstration of the change within us. That's what James is all about. Show me your faith by your what? Works. And here, Paul, as he's writing some of the last words of his life under the inspiration of the scripture, what he wanted Timothy to realize and the church at large to realize is that you must love God's word, you must read God's word, you must teach God's word, you must digest and meditate in God's word so that you are fully equipped for every good work, because there are good works for every Christian to do for the glory of God. That gives me encouragement, because sometimes I'm stuck at home in quarantine, or we wonder, what's my purpose in life? Here you go, right here. God is fully equipping you for every good work that he calls you to do. Well, how do I know what God's good work is? He'll show it to you in his word. He'll show it to you through prayer. What an amazing God who can use this word of God that is timeless in its truth and is powerful. We'll lead to that next when we think of God's power. But thank God that he gives each of us a good works to accomplish. And he doesn't say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to live for the glory of God. Figure it out on your own. No, he says, I love you so much. I'm going to give you my word to teach you, to instruct you, to reprove you at times, to correct you, to encourage you, to train you in righteousness, because I want my church to be strong, not weak. I think it's so sad in these days when God's word is so readily accessible. Why is the church sometimes so weak? You ever wonder that? Why is the church so weak? Why don't we see churches filled to the max, especially in these kind of days? I'm not trying to play numbers games at all, but I really think there is a big connection to the church of God, and I'm speaking to myself here, not really making God's word their ultimate authority. Because if we read God's word and we meditated on it and we let it change our lives as it ought to, we would be going into our communities and sharing the gospel. Visitors who come would not just be people from other churches church hopping. But visitors, majority, and there's nothing wrong with people looking from the church, we'll be careful with that. But if the way we want to grow our church is just hoping that other churches will send their people here, that's wrong. That's not how it works. The church is supposed to grow as people come to believe in Jesus. And as communities are impacted with truth, we see churches grow. And what causes that? The word of God changing the lives of the church so they don't stay comfortable with just keeping to ourselves. We say, there's a world out there that's dying, and I want to tell them about Jesus. And so we don't read God's word and keep it to ourselves, but we tell others what God is teaching us. Wouldn't it be wonderful that if every visitor who came to Open Door Bible Church said, oh, actually, yeah, I'm a friend of so-and-so. Oh, yeah, they invited me to come. Oh, I'm a coworker of so-and-so. It'd be wonderful. And let me tell you something, that's really how the early church got going. They met house to house. And as The word grew. Neighbors said, I'm interested in that. I want to hear that. Jewish believers would go get their Jewish friends who weren't saved, and they say, hey, come, you got to hear this word of truth. And eventually, yes, they had places of worship, and synagogues would start realizing, hey, where did all our members go? Well, they're meeting as the church. But it was grassroots. I just wonder if there's a part of the church in America. I don't wonder. I believe there is a part of the church in America that is very weak because we have atrophied because we haven't looked at God's word. So let's not go that way. And Paul is telling Timothy over and over, pay attention to the sound words. God's word is not bound. God's word is not chained. So let it change you. Let it transform you. Very quickly, lastly, we need to look at the last part of verse 17 again. And I just think this really encapsulates all of it. But verse 17, he says, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This reminds me that God is capable to do what he's promised to do. And so fifthly, God's word is awesome in its authority. Nate, if you go to the next slide. God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine power. Because of its divine power. We see that in verses 16, Scripture, this is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching. It's gone for all these, it's given us for all these things, and God makes it happen. He equips us for every good work. God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine power. As we close, I just want to look at a couple things, this thought of power. Thanks, Nate. If you go to that next slide, the power of God's unbound word. What is God's word powerful to do? Well, here's what it does. God's word empowers our salvation. I think we understand that. Salvation, true salvation, must be through the word of God and its truth. It's not through what Pastor Sam thinks. It's not through what other people think. It's through what God says is true. So as we share the gospel, we have to be careful to share the clear gospel. But God's word empowers our salvation. Verse 15, it's wise. It is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But also God's word empowers our sanctification. That's what verses 16 and 17 are all about. Sanctification, that big word. But it means basically becoming more like Jesus. Living like Jesus. Loving like Jesus. Learning to love God and love others like he's called us to do. That's what sanctification is all about. Growing in our walk with Jesus. And God's word empowers that. And then also, thirdly, God's word empowers our service. Verse 17, equipped for every good work, every good opportunity that God gives us and calls us to obey him in. God's word is powerful to empower even our service for him. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful it's not up to a pastor to get all excited and jump around and go, because that's not me, but jump all around and go over the stage and think, well, if our pastor gets excited enough, then we'll go and love the Lord. No, that's not how it works. Well, if I just read, you know, I do all this stuff and I do it my own strength, then I'll be okay. No, it's all about the power of God. Memorize his word. Let his word empower you. And so as we close, here's what I would ask us in application. As we close and we look at these two wonderful verses of Scripture. Nate, if you go to that next slide. Has the wisdom. This morning we've looked at the amazing divine wisdom, purpose, and power of God's word. Has the wisdom, purpose, and power of God's word been revealed in your life? So I would ask these three questions. Has God's word empowered your salvation? What are you trusting in for salvation? Are you trusting in what you've done for God? Or what you think is right? Are you trusting in what you know God's word says is right? Has God's word truly empowered your salvation? Secondly, is God's word empowering your sanctification, your walk with Christ? Are there evidences in your life and my life that God's word is our ultimate authority in life and it's empowering the way we live for him? It's changing, transforming, equipping us. Third, is God's word empowering your service for God? Are we serving the Lord in our own strength or are we serving the Lord through the power of his word and in his strength? Nate, if you'd go to the next slide, I thought, you know what, Samuel? You have a problem with being too wordy. Let's just make this real simple down to earth. One, have you been saved? Have you been saved? Do you know God as your Savior? That's what starts. One of the saddest things in the world is to see people read the Word of God and read the Word of God and yet never come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul talked about that earlier in chapter 3. Have you been saved? Have you believed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Have you seen through God's word that you need God's gift of forgiveness, because you are a sinner just like all of us are, and we are all worthy of condemnation, and yet God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place, to rise from the grave so that we could have eternal life. Are you saved? Have you been saved? But secondly, are you being sanctified? Are you growing? Are you growing in your walk with Christ? Are you the same person you were when you came to Christ, or have you transformed? Are you a different person? Are you learning to love the things that God loves and hates the things that God hates and go the place and do what God wants you to do? Are you being sanctified? And third, are you serving the Lord? You might say, yes, I'm a Christian. Pastor Sam, I have been saved, and I thank God for his salvation, and I'm not perfect, and this is not, number two is not a question, are you perfect? Number two is, are you becoming more like Jesus? And so as he reveals to us where we need to change, we say, God, thank you. Forgive me for the wrong way I've been going. And so we get on track more where he wants us to be. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about becoming more like Christ. But thirdly, are you serving the Lord? We need to be serving God. Looking to him each day, God, how do you want me to serve you today? How do you want me to serve you this week? How do you want me to serve you in my home? Sadly, many times, I don't ask that question the way, or maybe I ask, but I don't think about it. And God says, yes, here's how I want you. I want you to love your wife. I want you to love your children. I want you to listen to your wife and to your children. I want you to love them as I love you. I want you to go and show others the love of God through the way you live. Are we serving the Lord? So as we close this morning, Nate, if you would go to this next slide. We see that in these two passages, we've talked about Christian living essentials. There's been a lot of them already we've seen. And kind of this essential thing, essential is a big word. I think I've used it more in the last 10 weeks than I've ever used it before in my life. But essentials, what has God given us? The ultimate essential, or one of them, is the authoritative word of God. Thank God that he's given that to us. And so as we close, Nate, if you go to that last slide, God's word must be our ultimate authority. I pray that you'll make it yours. I pray that you've already made it yours, and you'll continue to improve in the way that we live. All of us will grow in making God's word our ultimate authority. We realize that our ultimate authority is not a pastor, is not a state, is not a government. And it doesn't mean that those authorities are not important. They are important. But our ultimate authority is God and his word. At the end of the day, you're not going to have to give an account to me, or to the church leadership team, to our governor, to our president. You're going to give the account to God. We better know what he said. And thank God that he's given it all, so when one day when we stand before him, we don't stand before him in fear. We stand before him with joy. And he says, welcome home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Remember what Jesus said, those who are going to hear well done? Those who hear my word and do it. That's who my family is. And so may God help us to be faithful children of God as we trust his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Thank you that it is timeless. It is unchanging. Father, I pray that you would truly be glorified in our lives. Father, I pray that your word will not just be a historical document to us, but I pray that it would be a living, true, even a scalpel at times, a living word that changes us, that equips us, that empowers us, that gives us wisdom to know how to respond in very difficult situations of life, some we're going through right now, in our families, in our work situations, in our country, in our community. Thank you, God, for your love for us to give you your word. May we trust your word and obey it. In Jesus' name.